Hey folks, welcome to the Adventure Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Mason. Today's episode comes from Without Compromise, my other show through Athletic Brewing, my day job. And I just thought the episode was really applicable, so I wanted to post it here too. It's with Olan Johnson talking about ultra running and setting those kinds of goals while being a parent. It's a little different than the Adventure Sports Podcast interview, but pretty similar. So I thought it was pretty cool and be great for a Thursday episode. So I hope you enjoy. But before we jump in, I did want to let you know, if you didn't see, we recently posted an episode. This was like yesterday. Just like a minute long, talking about a gear giveaway we're doing with UST, literally the letters UST, gear. We are doing a big summer National Camping Month, which is June, summer giveaway. So if you want to get a tent, some sleeping bags, some sleeping pads, and a camp blanket, go to our show notes. There's a form. All you got to do is sign up. Name and email. You don't have to post anything. You don't have to follow anybody. Just sign up and you'll be entered to win into this this giveaway. So two people are going to be getting that entire set of camping gear. So two winners. And yeah, I would say go ahead and do it. You have until the 27th to get your name in. So don't wait. Fill out the form. It takes 5 seconds and then you're done, and then you might win like $700 worth of gear. So totally worth your time. So yeah, don't wait on that, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Let's jump in. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Thank you so much for jumping on. I know life's a little crazy for you right now. What's, you have a newborn and all that, but what has been maybe some of the biggest adjustments initially so far? And by the way, how long have you been a mother?
Oh, I'm super fresh, like 10 and a half weeks.
Yeah. Very new, still a new process, but how is it going? What's your review so far?
10 out of 10, definitely. Highly recommend. but it's been absolutely wonderful. A lot of, definitely a big learning curve in some respects, but it's been a joy and we've been super happy and, you can't imagine life without him now.
It's a heck of an adjustment, but I read that adjustment has been eased by your experience with ultra running. I know that's your sport of choice or your activity of choice. Tell us about maybe some of the similarities that you've noticed in the last 10 and a half weeks between something that people might not put together as something similar.
Sure. Yeah. No, I think the biggest one would be the sleep deprivation. Yeah. You know, living your life in 3-hour chunks is challenging sometimes, especially in the middle of the night. But I definitely have experienced much of the same in the races that I've run, especially, the really long distances, like the 100 milers, just because you're going through the whole night and you are sleep deprived and you have to dig down deep and find that energy to keep going. So that would be one big adjustment. The other one I think is just being flexible, right? Because when you're running these long races, anything can happen. You might be as prepared as you think you might be, but then you hit a wall that's unexpected, or there's another curveball like weather. Just so being on your toes in racing has helped translate very well to being a new mom.
And you mentioned now you're traveling a little bit. What where is home for you?
So home is actually back in Alexandria, Virginia. But we traveled up to Long Island where I grew up to visit grandma. So it was the first road trip with the baby and he did really well. So we're excited about that. We're hoping that he's good for all of the long drives, but we'll see.
No, that's awesome. I'm glad it's gone well. So, I want to hear, you said you grew up in Long Island. Was running or just any sort of foundational sports or activity something you did there? Because I know you discovered ultra running later, but what was there first before ultra running?
Oh, I would say tennis was my main sport. I mean, growing up, my parents were really good about exposing me to a lot of different sports, like soccer and basketball, which wasn't you know, a huge hit because I'm quite short. I'm only 5 foot. So that was not going to be a sport that I stuck with. But tennis, golf, I did, you know, running in high school. I was on track. You know, those were shorter distances. And I never did cross country, surprisingly enough. So I didn't really appreciate, you know, my love for long runs until I was much older. So I'm glad I found it because I kick myself now because I keep thinking, man, I should have done cross country. I think it would have been a lot of fun.
I mean, yeah, kind of a lot of fun running, you know, that's most other sports punishment, you know, so.
Right.
From there, where did you start to discover a love for not only running, but running these incredibly long distances, like 50 miles, 100 miles? How do you discover that?
So I actually had seen a documentary about desert running. And I believe they were highlighting the Four Deserts series. And I thought, wow, that is so cool. These people are just, you know, going out and doing these incredibly long multi-day stage races through the desert. They're carrying everything they need on their back to live on for the week. I want to do that. And I would say I discovered that in college and I'm like, oh, I should, you know, that would be great. But then the thought of running that far or doing the training, it seemed impossible. And I always came up with an excuse like, oh, I don't have time right now. This is, you know, I have too much going on. I have to study. I'm trying to get a job. All of, you know, these life things to try to be an adult. And so I shelved it for a bit. And then I just kept coming back to it like, oh, this is so cool. I should try it. And eventually I just woke up one day and signed up for it and figured that I would, you know, work through the training on the spot. So I'm not sure that my wife was convinced that I would do it, you know, follow through with it, but we made it work.
And what was that first ultra experience like? What race was it and how did you feel? And also, by the way, when you started, how far were you running? You know what I mean? Because, I mean, a marathon is a huge milestone for a lot of people, but to just look beyond that initially is kind of even crazier. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. So the longest distance I had run up to the point where I signed up for this race was a half marathon. So I'd done a couple of those. I had also done some 10Ks. So I was definitely comfortable with the shorter distances. But the race that I had signed up for was called the Grand to Grand Ultra. And that's, you know, a 170-mile foot race through the desert in Arizona and Utah. So you're going from the Grand Canyon to the Grand Staircase. And so I, you know, went from 0 to 100 really, really quickly.
170, and so, actually.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, I just chipped away at the distances that I needed to hit. So obviously I started again with the half marathon, then did the Long Island Marathon as my first ever truly long distance race. And then the 50K and the 50 miler. And the 50 miler was the last long distance that I did in preparation for the Grand to Grand.
All right. So I know a little bit about the Grand to Grand. I have a friend that raced it a few years ago. And yeah, it's stunningly beautiful from the Grand Canyon to the Grand Staircase National Monument, I believe. And so it's just unbelievable scenery, amazing landscapes, obviously very hot as well in that area. But it's as you lead up to this, there's so many miles and so much preparation that goes in. Were there any of those races where you thought, what have I signed up for? What have I gotten myself into? Because the marathon, which is a lot of people's finish line, was honestly just the starting point for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I keep the 50K was tough because that one, that was the Eastern Divide, which is in Virginia, but in the mountains of Virginia. And that was the first time had ever experienced an incredibly challenging technical course with a lot of uphill. So that was an eye opener, but it was not as bad as the 50 miler because I went out to Colorado for that one to run the Grand Mesa Ultras. And that completely rocked my world because of not only the elevation change, but I mean, there was some serious climbs that we had to do. So that was probably the moment where when I finished, I was surprised that I finished. within the time cap, but I definitely thought, wow, what am I doing?
Yeah, humbling experience maybe. And did doubt ever creep in?
Oh, absolutely. Especially with that race, because the first part, I mean, is a complete uphill to the top of this crag, and then you're coming down. And then the later part of the race is on top of the mesa, and it's like a lollipop. So you're going out and back, and I never felt so slow in my life. I was walking. I couldn't even run anymore. So, and it was hot, and it was just fully exposed, and the sun was beating down, and I just felt like I don't know, I want to sit down and quit. But I kept going. I said to myself, you know, you just keep walking. It's better, you know, any sort of movement is better than sitting to rest, because I knew if I did, I wouldn't get up. And then on the way back towards the finish line, a thunderstorm rolled in, and it was the first time I had run in extreme weather in terms of, you know, lightning and thunder, and I was moving so fast and I would time everything because I had never experienced it before. So I had to cross through these open fields at one point, and I'm trying to time it with the lightning and trying to get to cover really quickly.
And so with the Grand de Grand, tell us about just some of those unique aspects of that race, because you're carrying a lot more on your back because it's a long race, but I see that your pack is just bigger.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you're running with a backpack, and typically you have about, I would say comfortably 20 to 25 pounds on your back. It obviously depends on the type of gear that you choose. Obviously lighter or ultralight is better. But a lot of the weight is because of all your fuel, right? Like the food that you need to eat, your dinner, breakfast, lunch, all the, you know, racing fuel, like gels and things like that you would typically use in other races. So that's a unique aspect, making sure you have enough calories each day, because there are specific requirements put out by the race directors about how much you need to carry. You also have your sleeping system. So, you know, you're running with a sleeping pad and a sleeping bag. They provide the tent for you, but everything else is on your back. And that includes any extra clothes that you need, extra socks, you know, first aid kits, all of that. And that's one unique aspect of it. But the other part is just the back-to-back racing, right? So, and the different distances that you might run. I mean, you're going from anywhere from marathon distance to 50K to 50 miles. And you're going in some extreme temperatures, because it is, you know, it is very hot out there, especially during that time of year when they run it in September. And there's a lot of exposed areas where you're just running in the open and the sun is beating down on you. Some years there's severe rain. Luckily, the year that I did it, we didn't experience that, and it was a little bit cooler as well. But they really put you through the gauntlet of different terrain, like even sand and sand dunes, which was absolutely demoralizing, but so much fun when you look back on it.
Oh man. So, you know, we obviously have a lot of ultra runners and a lot of runners in this ambassador crew, but for anybody that is listening out there, that may have never done something like this, an ultra run on foot. Julie, as you may have learned talking to her, she's a cyclist. I am too. And so we don't do tons of running ourselves. What is the appeal of doing these ultra runs? Like where are you going in your mind or in your soul or whatever you want to call it? Where are you going? What does it leave you with that keeps you coming back to do them?
That's a great question. You know, I think there's, at least for me, there are a couple of things. I mean, the major one is testing your own limits, right? Because no one's saying, oh, you can't do that distance. And every time you chip away at a new distance, like the 50K or the 50 miler, or even the 100 miler, you know, if your body hasn't quit yet, there's an appeal, right? There's this like, okay, like I can push it. I can push it a little bit more. Let me see if I can do it. Let me just try. And that is extremely appealing to me, that challenge of like, all right, let's hit the next one. Because when I first started running, I never thought that I would do 100 miles. let alone 170 over the course of, you know, several days. And, you know, I think another part of it is the preparation. I love that part. Because with these runs, and it's whether it's, you know, your shorter ultra distances or your much longer ones, there's, you have to be prepared at three different levels. Mentally is a big one, physically, of course, and then logistics. And it's like a little puzzle, and I love to put that all together and make it work. And I think the other appeal of racing and continuing to race these long distances is that you make it through one time and it might be rough, but you did it. And I always have that question, well, how can I do, you know, is there a way I can do this a lot better? Is there a way that I can run this same distance and feel better and not feel as horrible at the end?
Let's take a quick message break and hear from the folks that help make this show possible. That is plenty of that for now. Let's get back into the episode. I love that. I love that those three approaches and three places to essentially plan and prepare, because there's a lot of moving variables in those and places you can improve, especially with logistics. That's a huge, if you break those into thirds, that gives anyone a major advantage that might not be, you know, the best athlete out there. You know, as far as like, I think that's one reason ultra running and you know, cycling and stuff is so appealing to folks, is especially with these longer distance. It kind of evens the playing field for the folks who can work on mental toughness, which is a lot less to do with being a 6'8 NBA player. You know what I mean? It's like, if you don't have that, you just don't have it. But the mental side, anyone can work on. That preparation side, anyone can work on. The logistics. So I can imagine it becomes a little bit of like a treasure hunt or an Easter egg hunt, or just a fun way to get better at the sport.
Oh, absolutely. And that was, you know, when I was preparing for Grand to Grand, I would, you know, had read a lot of blogs of people who had run it before, and then had spoken to some race veterans, people who've run it more than once, and breaking it up in thirds like that, that was the best piece of advice that I took from those conversations.
Too cool. Too cool. What do you see being your athletic interests now that you are a parent? It might be too early. What do you see being kind of like your aspirations at this point?
I think just getting back into training is going to be the biggest thing, because it's almost like starting over again, back from square one, because, you know, I had stayed pretty fit for the first part of pregnancy. And then obviously as things progressed, training kind of took a back seat and it went to almost nothing towards the end. You know, I was walking, but it's very different, right? So I think trying to figure out what the new routine is going to look like, and how to fit in long training modules, in addition to juggling the whole childcare aspect, I think that's going to be my focus for now. But I do want to do another multi-day stage race. I think that I have that in my mind as being my A race to come back into the sport. And I'm not sure which one I want to do yet, but I had signed up for another race called Mana to Mana, which is the Grand to Grand sister race. It's run by the same company, same race directors. And that one's in Hawaii. And I had signed up for it, but of course the pandemic hit and it was delayed twice in a row. And so that would be a really cool one to come back on, since it's kind of slipped away twice.
And when is that now?
So that one is in May.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do May 2023. We'll see. But I think that would be a huge, huge push to get all that training done, especially starting out from where I am now. And I had also entertained maybe doing Grand Tour Grand again in September of 2023, because, you know, it was the race that got me into ultra running in the first place. And it would be neat to do it again, to be like, okay, I'm back and I'm ready to hit these long distances again.
Very cool. No, I love that. Yeah. You can't go wrong, you know, going with something. So, I want to take us to kind of the other end of the spectrum as far as activity and something you're passionate about, which is gaming. Julie was talking about that in the interview she did with you, and I thought that was just so cool that you, you know, you stream on Twitch, you like to play games. Just going from running 170 miles, you can't get more, I don't know, just stationary than gaming. Right. So it's like they don't seem that they would be two passions of the same person, but they are. Can you talk to us about what you enjoy about that and as far as how it fits into your active lifestyle and what you like to do on the side?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it definitely fits in to the active lifestyle because it's a great way to take a break and decompress because like you said, I mean, you're doing a lot of sitting when you're gaming. So when I need to recover from my long runs, I just, you know, would love to hang out with friends and jump into some battle royale games with them. And then streaming was, I mean, I think it's a lot of people's dreams to be able to stream on Twitch and play games and meet people in that type of format and build a community. And it just sort of happened during the pandemic. And I was able to meet a lot of great people and some people that I'm still in touch with and have developed personal friendships with. And even some athletes that are Athletic Brewing fans have come from that. So that's pretty exciting. But yeah, I mean, it's just a really, I love it as a way to decompress.
Familiar. I game with my brothers and we don't live that far away, but it's far enough that we can't see each other all that often. And it's just like our way to hang out. It's our way to be together. And it gives me the same feelings and thrill as when I go to play basketball or when I go to ride my bike somewhere. And it's definitely cool to see that. A fun way to relax for sure.
Exactly.
That is awesome. So have you been playing a lot of games lately with the baby, or is that just kind of off the table too?
Right now it's definitely off the table for now. I still game when I can. I've managed to figure out that when he's sleeping and I can get him in, you know, a baby carrier, I can sit there with him hanging out or all, you know, with him asleep. Or he'll sit next to me in one of his bouncer chairs. But it's hit or miss if I can get through a couple games or not, just in case he wakes up or needs something. But I've still managed to connect with friends, and still be social, especially in the early parts of, you know, right after he was born, it was kind of nice to just take a break and talk to some adults.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Julie mentioned something about, you mentioned, definition of productivity changing now that you're a parent. Do you have any thoughts about that? What did you mean by that?
So, you know, I would say that I am a workaholic. And so when I looked at productivity before being a mom, you know, that was hitting a lot of milestones at work or getting things, you know, assignments done ahead of schedule. All of that type of thing. And then now with being a mom, the fact that, okay, I'm taking care of my son, I'm, you know, on top of washing bottles, I'm on top of getting him fed and making sure that he's happy, like that is productivity now. Whereas before I'm like, okay, what can I do for some professional self-development, right? In my off time. Now I don't really have time for that. But it made me upset, you know, initially, you know, in the sense that like, oh, I wish I could do that. Or I wish I had time for these other things for myself. But I realized that doing all these things for my son, that's still very good. I'm still doing a good job.
Things just change. Things definitely change with a kid. It's wild, in a great way. Very cool. Well, if you don't mind, I'd love to jump in a handful of rapid fire questions.
Oh, sure.
What would you say your proudest achievement is in athletics?
Ooh. Definitely completing Grand to Grand for sure. And hitting the 100-miler. But I think the biggest one would be, you know, I mentioned to Julie that I had for a time, I had to work overseas quite a bit. Always traveling for work. And I was trying to train in between all those trips and during those trips. And it would it was the, I'm proud of the fact that I was able to get the training done and still work a very challenging job that was very demanding on time. And so, you know, I figured where there's a will, there's a way. If I have to train, you know, several hours before my shift actually starts, then so be it. Or if I had to do it after, then we'd make it work somehow.
That is definitely something to not take lightly, for sure. That is very difficult to do, especially international travel. Gosh, what that equates to me in my mind is just very long flights and lots of jet lag.
Absolutely.
And still being able to get it done. Holy crap. Yeah. Good for you.
Thank you.
What about outside of athletics, outside of just in general, what would you say one of your proudest achievements is?
Outside of athletics, I would definitely say motherhood, you know, because that's not something that I was, you know, I wouldn't say I'm a selfish person, but I do value my time in different ways. And I do a lot of things for myself, like the training and streaming on Twitch and other things like that, or, you know, professional development goals that I have. And I think being able to take a step back from that and giving myself to someone else in that way and being, you know, taking care of my son, that's something that I'm very proud of.
That's a very interesting, two very interesting hobbies, which is ultra running and gaming. That might be all you have time for right now, being a new mom. But is there a special hobby or hidden talent that you often don't get to talk about or tell folks about?
You know, it's funny because I do have a lot of different hobbies, and my wife will say that I bounce around from, you know, different things all the time, just whatever catches my interest. So one right now would be working on mechanical keyboards and building those out. And it's just, you know, it's a silly hobby. It's very niche, but it brings me a lot of joy. So that's kind of what I'm filling my extra time with now.
What are some of the biggest lessons that you would like to instill in your son?
I think one of the biggest ones would be, you know, work hard, make your own luck. Would be a big one, just because, you know, hard work definitely pays off in the end, no matter what. And I always say it too, where there's a will, there's a way. If you want something bad enough, you will make it happen. You will make the sacrifices that you need to make, and don't give up, because the thought of not accomplishing, you know, that crazy idea, right, that you got in your head a decade ago, you could still do it. You just have to stick with it and find a way, and you will be better for it. And that's, if you miss the opportunity, you'll always question.
That's awesome. Well, I think he's going to have a great example to look up to. So speaking of that, what is the biggest goal you haven't yet achieved?
Ooh, biggest goal. I think a big one from the athletic side, I definitely want to get into some terrain that I haven't dealt with before. I mean, a big bucket list race for me is the Ice Ultra, which is run by Beyond the Ultimate. That I would love to do. It's, you're in Arctic Sweden, and it's the same thing, multi-day stage race, but you're in the freezing cold in the snow and ice, and you're running with snowshoes.
Sufferfest.
I know. I don't know if I can do it, but I mean, I definitely want to give it a try.
Yeah, that sounds miserable. If I'm gonna be honest, I can't stand the cold, so that's pretty rough. But hey, you know, that's talk about a sense of accomplishment. That would be incredible. If you want, hey, what is your biggest goal not yet achieved outside of that? If you have one.
Ooh, that is a. These are really good questions.
Yeah, it's like we're helping you plan your life on this show. Just,
I know. It's...
what do you want to instill in your children, and what's your biggest life goals?
You know, it kind of touches on athletics a little bit, but I would love to experience maybe even running an ultra with my son in the future, whether it's a multi-day stage race or just maybe a 50 miler or 100 miler. But I think that would be a really, really cool experience to go through with him, especially if he sees me doing these types of things growing up.
foresee that there's going to be a lot of sideline cheering for the first little while, and then just being inspired by mom to get out and do that stuff. So yeah, that would be incredible. What an incredible thing to be able to experience with a child. So what would you say, and it's shifting gears here, breaking it down just a little bit, what do you have an athletic brewing beer that you find just as one of your favorites?
Sure. We love the sours. I mean, we just did the tropical sour that came out a couple months ago. That was delicious. We are huge fans. And then I was also drinking a bit of the Carabunga, which is fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome. We'll have to tell Kara. Kara's one of the former brewers, now our Two for the Trails director and awesome. Our B Corps director. So, yeah, Kara is already a legendary brewery in the athletic brewing world, but that's awesome. How do you live without compromise? Because, like I said before, it says brew without compromise on our cans, and but we think in order to brew without compromise, you have to kind of live without compromise in every way. What does it mean to you to live without compromise?
To me, living without compromise has to do with just getting it done, right? And like I talked about with my training when I was overseas, it's just making things happen, like regardless of how many hours you have to work or whatever else is going on, you will figure out a way to achieve that goal that you have in your mind. And it's not to say that you're, you know, going to be selfish and not take care of your other responsibilities. It's the whole package. It's doing what you need to do to get your personal goals done without compromising your things that you need to do in your daily life, whether that's with your family, work, all of that.
First of all, thank you so much for listening. It means the world to us that you choose to listen to this show. If you'd like to help us further, you can leave a review on iTunes, share us with your friends, your family. It goes a long way to grow in the show. You can also support us financially through patreon.com/adventuresportspodcast. Link is in the show notes. And also, if you have an idea of who could be a good guest for the show, we're always looking for people to tell their story about the outdoors or adventure. So if you know someone, please reach out. Email us at info@adventuresportspodcast.com. And until then, get out there and have some fun.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.